Hey gang, welcome. It's Stunt Granny Audio Edition, number 341. That was supposed to be Stunt Granny Audio 341 Edition. Yeah, so cool. This is Jeremy. joining the show this week is Kevin, which is actually, even that should be reversed. Kevin's always here, and I'm joining Kevin this week, so...
We're on the path of trying to mix things up a little bit more this year.
Yes, and he did have me mention... And I probably should have brought it up off air, but whatever. He said, let's do a three-man booth. And I was like, all right, that should work just fine. So,
things went pretty smoothly there with Chris last time around. So I don't feel like there's any problems with doing a three-man booth.
Well, it needs to be a week with some sort of news, too. Like this week, really nothing happened. I mean, outside of a rash of injuries, of course.
Did you just tear a pec?
What's that?
Did you just tear a pec?
No, that was the usual 15 things at once trying to get out. Did you guys talk about Sonny's sex tape last week?
Oh, no, we did not.
Well, let's just jump into that then, shall we? I can't really. I think it's something about Sonny backstage or backdoor access or something. Did you see the preview?
I saw very little of the information on that. I just saw that it was rumored, then it was confirmed.
Oh, it was confirmed.
And I honestly didn't even click on the articles. I just saw that it was confirmed somewhere. I'm just like, whatever. She is just such a hot mess at this point that, you know, it's kind of tough to
even want to go and see it. What I was thinking, because it's like something like that years ago, obviously would have been great, but now it just like it was only one of those brief. It was just a preview video, but the porn industry has to guarantee like you're gonna see what they're advertising or what you want to see. And yeah, it was backdoor access. That's for sure. I mean, everything was getting manhandled. And I just saw it and it, you know, she's gotta be in her late 40s by now, I think. She's not in as good a shape as she was for the Hall of Fame when she got inducted. It was just kind of sad. Like it wasn't sexy whatsoever.
I am not surprised by this information.
Yeah, it's just even as like a goof, go, yeah, I'm gonna watch this just for the goof of it.
Right.
I don't know. Like, but the China stuff was different because it was just, well, her and Waltman being all drugged up allegedly. And then when she went into like legit, if you want to put it that way, like made like legit movies, it was just weird.
Oh man, 43.
She's only 40. She's only 43.
Had to pull that one up. I'm a little more quick on the trigger here this week.
Oops.
For looking stuff up. Yeah, I would have assumed just because of how early she was in the WWE that she would have been older.
I would have figured she was older by the mileage that she's clearly put on herself. Wow. I mean, I'm no dreamboat, mind you, but still. Wow.
Yeah, well, it's not good news when Wikipedia decides to use a 2010 picture.
Just link that over. I want to see that real quick. But that just makes that little video clip even sadder, man. I don't know. It's like we all had that affinity for her, and then it looked like she was turning herself around at the WWE, the Hall of Fame, which we were there for her induction, right?
I believe so. I think
that was Atlanta.
Yeah, I believe that was Atlanta. So
okay. You know what? That's a banging picture. And that might have been... Yeah, that would have been right around WrestleMania 27. If that was from October 2nd of 2010, yeah, it would have been a few months later.
Oh, gotcha.
So, yeah, I mean, Now, if that was a Sunny in the video, then I'd be saying how awesome it looked. But no, that's not it. So, the one thing you said, like, about her, like, hitting dire straits or whatever, or like getting that low. Someone said that to her on Twitter, and she just freaked out and said, "If they offered you the amount of money that they offered me, you would have done it in a heartbeat." And it's like, you didn't save any of your money, like.
No, it seems like more of them are like Ric Flair than they are somebody else.
Shawn Michaels, I guess.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a good example.
Yeah, it's funny, the guys that do and don't make it, and the guys that do and don't, like, financially. Like, I hope we won't see this sort of stuff. I mean, unless it's like a willing participant, but, like, I hope we don't get this sort of thing again, where you see guys, like, I don't want to see in 10 years, I'm trying to think of a guy who's going to be out of the business in 10 years, Chris Jericho. I'm almost done with this book. Like, hopefully in 10 years, you're not going to see Chris Jericho doing dumb crap like this, because he's broke, you know, or...
Right.
Well, he's got some of the outside interests. I'm trying to think of somebody else,
Yeah, because I mean, I just don't think that he's going to wear it out, or even if he does, it's just going to be for a fairly short time period. But yeah, I mean, he has so much lined up, well, maybe not so much, but I mean, he has enough lined up that there's no reason for him to go back.
I'm just trying to think of, like, just some guys, but... I don't know, maybe that's a good thing to think of it that way. Like, hopefully some of these guys have had, all right, like, R-Truth, let's go with him. One, the guy's 50. That is incredible.
Yeah.
If we can all look that good at 50. Wow. But, like, in 5-6 years, if or when he retires, because if you really think about it, he hasn't done a whole lot in the last 2 years. Now all of a sudden he's doing some goofy thing with Gold Dust. But he's still in WWE, still making money, but he's not bumping all over the place all the time.
Oh, no, he is mostly out there, like, the last year, it's almost been all skits.
Yeah.
Because even when he does come out for a match, it's just like, oh, I thought I was supposed to be in the Money in the Bank ladder match, and everyone's like, no, you're not in this. And he goes back out, and it's just like... Damn, son. I mean, that is a hell of a way to pick up a paycheck. Like, you don't have to take any bumps. Basically, all he's doing is going to the gym. Which, really, again, is still quite impressive. for his age. And, and he gets to collect money for that.
Yeah, I was, did you watch that JBL, The Legends, or I think it's what it's called?
Oh.
Ron Simmons?
No, I did not.
Okay. Well, one thing I was disappointed with it, as a spoiler, they don't talk about the whole damn thing.
Oh, how did they...
I was shocked.
How did they not talk about that?
They talked about APA, and they talked about how Vince McMahon, like, walked by. I didn't know this. Maybe this was common knowledge, but Vince McMahon walked by the two of them just sitting around talking, and then the next day told him he wanted that to be on TV. And... Ron Simmons was like, so wait a minute, you want to pay us to sit around and drink beer on TV? Like, yeah. It's like, okay. And they both, like, got all the energetic about it. And, I mean, but just imagine going up to R-Truth and Vince goes, all right, look, we need Santino's gone, so we need our goofy guy. You want to take that over? And he's like, well, not really, but what's it entail? Well, you get to come to Raw, you'll make an appearance for 5 minutes, you're not really going to wrestle, but you're going to do some goofy stuff, make you look kind of stupid if you don't mind that, and we're going to pay you. And then you get a Royal Rumble bonus for throwing a ladder in the ring.
No.
And then someone going, that's not you. That's not, this isn't the Money in the Bank. You get tossed out, and it's 3 minutes. And you're going to pay me.
Yeah.
Yes, we're going to pay you. Okay, sounds good to me.
Yeah, there is no way anyone in their right mind turns that down. 3 minutes of work and I get probably 5 figures? Yeah, sure. Sign me up. Where do I put my name?
Yeah, and then, oh, don't forget, you can still sell t-shirts, and we'll get your action figures, and everything will be cool. It's like, wow, okay.
And you will be one of the few humorous skits that actually appears on TV every week.
Yes. All right. To get into current times, that Gold Dust and R-Truth stuff, it's not on par with the old Gold Dust and Booker T stuff. Remember they used to do the movies?
Oh, yeah.
But it's got the potential, and I think that's got to be all Dustin Reynolds. I mean, unless it's just the team up, they just maybe are going to strike something there. But the Booker T and Gold Dust stuff started off similar, and that got really fun until they broke them up. And I'm kind of hoping the same thing's going to happen with R-Truth and Gold Dust, because maybe it's just a nostalgia thing that actually works. Because I don't get embarrassed when I see Goldust on TV or Goldust wrestling.
Oh.
You know, because he's actually in better shape now than he was way back then. So.
No, and I mean, I can't even remember the last time that R-Truth had something of a relevant match. I feel like he may have gone for an IC title or a US title when they were not all that important.
Did he face off with Cena during the U.S. Challenge at all?
He maybe did, but I mean, he had one of the shorter matches.
Like Zack Ryder, yeah.
Yeah.
But no, that was one of the things that I think they need that goofy, like, actual funny stuff. And I remember we were talking about it today earlier, like, I didn't really have much of an opinion on Raw this week. You know, it was just one of those, okay, there's the show. Nothing horrible, but nothing great either.
You could go back to what we mentioned, or what you mentioned at the top of the show, the injuries. Like, everyone's like, well, and not only just injuries, they end up having the emergency situation with the, it's because it's not Wyndham.
The Rotundas. Yes.
You know, and when they're when Bray Wyatt is the leader of one of really the major storylines at the current moment, it's really the WWE got, and not that I blame them, but they just got put in a bad spot for this week. You know, just on top of the injuries, to lose two guys. Well, okay, one important guy and another guy that is a better rapper than a professional rapper.
I actually read somewhere, I think it was Double XL magazine, actually ranked Bo Ryder as the winner. Like, I guess that's like a legit magazine. I don't know. Who reads magazines anymore anyways? So, but it was unfortunate that there was no follow-up to that. To the Bo Ryder stuff, at least. Even if it was just a one-day-off thing. And, oh, did you see that WWE had a poll of the... There was an Instagram post that led to a WWE blog or column about the worst rappers or most whack rappers in WWE history. Yeah. And they actually put the Bo Ryder thing on there. And you know that was just to smooth the ego of Flo Rida.
Oh.
Because I watched that again today. I was listening to it on the way back from work today. And, yeah, Bo cut right at him. And he just said just generic shit. So that was pretty funny. To get schooled by goofy-ass Bo Dallas.
Yeah, so Dallas's absence wasn't really that big of a deal, but... And it's just, it's always a little tough. Like, this time of the year, they have the big matches pretty much set up for WrestleMania, but nothing really becomes a picture until after Fastlane or whatever it was named, Elimination Chamber in the past. You know, all the undercard stuff just kind of out there. Like, I mean, you know that Dean Ambrose is not going to be in the main event at WrestleMania. I think he did a good job with what he was asked to do, but as far as believability goes, at least from my view, is just it's just not.
Oh no, there's no chance in hell. I mean, everyone knows it's going to be. And Shahid will always say, just because it's predictable doesn't mean it's bad. Like, well, yeah, it makes it uninteresting. I mean, it's pretty clear. Plan right now is, you know, so it's supposed to be Lesnar and Bray Wyatt, which was like put at the end, because they were originally going to have Lesnar and Braun Strowman.
Oh.
Yeah. That was supposed to be the original plan, but then now they're putting Braun Strowman with The Undertaker. Because that was supposed to be John Cena and Undertaker. And it's like, how about not? Like, I don't even have, like, a sufficient replacement, or, you know, a sufficient idea, but nah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just going to be a really short match. There's a reason, again, that when the Wyatt family needs to do anything of importance in in-ring work, Luke Harper is the one doing the vast majority of the work, even if he's getting squat for a reward for it. you know, they still don't trust, well, it seems like they trust Rowan a little bit more than they used to. And Strowman, it's just like, hey, go have a showdown and maybe do a choke slam, and okay, that's your involvement in the match. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, all right, don't hurt anybody. All right, good? All right, good.
Okay, don't piss off Brock Lesnar again, and then everything will be okay.
Yeah, that might have been the best thing, too, is that I think Shahid pointed it out. I watched the match, I was like, God, that was pretty rough looking. Then he started doing those flying knees in the Rumble. I'm like, that looks very awkward and, like, unplanned. And then when Shahid pointed out, like, he's beating his ass, he's like, yeah, you better sell for the man.
Why is Brock Lesnar pulling these moves out in the Royal Rumble of all times?
Knee. And I mean, not like the John Cena, I'm gliding through the air hoping to hit somebody's shoulder. This was, I'm launching myself halfway across the ring into this guy. It's like, wow. But I just don't know if putting The Undertaker with Braun Strowman is a better idea. I don't get even how they would get to that point.
Oh.
Like, Wyatt and Lesnar, okay, I can see it because Lesnar will, or Wyatt will cost Lesnar the shot this, or
yeah, at Fastlane.
Yeah, I'll say this weekend, that's not this weekend. But, so that's pretty obvious. I don't know. I mean, and I guess I would just leave Roman and Dean Ambrose, you know, just duke it out, you know, at the finale at the end. But, it just seems pretty clear it's going to be Roman Reigns versus Triple H.
Yeah, and that one's kind of funny. Like, I think I read a couple of different places, they're like, well, if they still plan on going with Reigns against Lesnar, or Reigns against Triple H, because Triple H is getting more cheers than Reigns, and it's just like, really, you think that they're going to change it now? Like, they've been working on this story for like 6 months.
Yeah.
Really, you think that just because of a difference in crowd reaction, they're going to go, oh, you know what, we should come up with a different match? No, they're not.
Yeah, this isn't like the Daniel Bryan stuff where you're going to have, like, CM Punk walks out on you and people are just shitting on all of your plans so that you have to basically, you know, make plans but make it look natural and make it look like part of your storyline. And I was watching, since I remembered I can listen slash watch shows at work. They had some WWE Network show about Ultimate Underdogs. And, of course, they always put their hyperbole in. And you know, they turned a real life event and made it their own. It's like, okay. But I think we take it for granted now, especially since Daniel Bryan's been gone almost since he won at WrestleMania 30. We take for granted how gigantic that moment was.
I don't know if I take it for granted, because that was still just crazy to see. Just that whole place going bananas doing the yes chant.
Well, then at the end, I was watching, and they show the finale where Batista taps out. That place was going absolutely crazy, and I was like, God, that's right. Maybe not take for granted is the wrong thing, but you forget how exciting that really was. And last year, you had the excitement of the final match, and I'm trying to, because there was such a letdown with Sting losing. Rusev, John Cena, you know, Cena got a pretty good reaction because Rusev wasn't a clown loot jobber that he is now. Randy Orton had the very cool end of the match. The crowd was pretty much silent for that one until then.
Right.
The opening ladder match, all right. You had people just happy The Undertaker was out there again. And they were really into the final match because they wanted to see Reigns get his ass beat because the crowd just loved Lesnar. And, like, legit, he just became better. Or he, not became better, but, just by continually beating everybody up, the crowd got behind him.
Oh.
So you had that dynamic, and then, you know, the old adage, people love a title change, so you got that with Seth Rollins, especially him cashing in like that, just a total shock.
Yeah, I mean, no one had done it that way yet, so, it's something that it would be bad if they went to that well too often, but yeah, to have that kind of a moment, and I mean, again, like, I still think it's a little bit crazy, and I do think that Chris and I talked about this. It wasn't that long ago that I attended Raw. Like, it was only 2 weeks ago that I attended Raw, and Reigns was he was getting the most cheers out of everyone. I guess I don't even know what to say at this point. Like, he's just been all over the map. Like, it literally depends upon where he is on the map, what kind of a reaction that he gets.
Do you think they've just been in the wrong markets? You know, Miami, Royal Rumble, you know, the people are going to be doing that stuff. And then they went to, no, it was Miami then Tampa, or Tampa then Miami? One of the two.
Yeah.
They haven't done anything to change up the momentum. And as much as Triple H has tried to be the bad guy, you know, he's getting his booze, but not as bad as they should be. Especially with the line in himself with the unlikable Stephanie McMahon. Which, by the way, she's on ABC talking about mothers and all this stuff. And then, like, Vince McMahon, who I don't think people really want to boo, but, you know.
Well, and again, that's... And I think this is something that Chris and I had kind of talked about, too, is that largely they didn't really put the screws to Roman Reigns. Like, they put some obstacles in front of them, but a lot of the obstacles were, like, Bray Wyatt, unless they finally come up saying that Bray Wyatt was ordered by the Authority to attack Reigns, like, that whole feud had nothing to do with the Authority. I mean, and I feel like there was another one that's just like, well, yeah, they kind of had something to do with it, but... And it's not, they didn't really cheat to help, oh, that's what I was thinking, is the whole Sheamus thing. Like, they didn't really ever act like they were behind the League of Nations or anything of that nature. So it's just
I mean, Vince did partner up with them. I mean, he was the special referee for,
but that know, was that was after the fact, though.
Okay, that's what I'm making sure. On the same page with that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it did end up happening, but it wasn't really like, in how much contact have the McMahons really had with the League of Nations since that match?
Well, Sheamus was kind of the poster guy, but then with his whatever, he's been gone the last 2 weeks. But yeah, they were never that fully backed other than Sheamus. But yet, Sheamus shouldn't be backed by him because he continually blows it. Another thing that they've never really brought up, you know.
So, that's the other reason why I think that the authority isn't coming off all that evil in some ways, is that, I mean, they'd kind of taken some time off of TV, so they weren't really around quite as much as they had been. And now everyone's supposed to think that they're super evil. And I just still think that people are burnt out on that kind of storyline.
Yeah. Well, honestly, just in general. The other problem was the way Triple H won the Royal Rumble. All right, he came in at 30. He didn't do anything to really cheat to get rid of Roman Reigns. He didn't.
Oh.
Vince McMahon did. He just came in, did his thing, threw him over the top, and then beat Dean Ambrose.
Well, and you know? And they haven't even made that big of a deal out of Triple H coming in at 30. Like, they haven't gone, oh, they rigged it so that Triple H came in last. Like, they haven't even made a big deal out of that. Like, they've mentioned it, but, you know, it hasn't been a real talking point, and it should be.
Yeah. The very first thing, when Triple H's music hit, Michael Cole should not have gone, oh my god, it's Triple H! He should have said that they're going, oh, of course Triple H is going to be in this. And of course he's, I mean, he should have been disgusted with it. Not, oh my god, look who it is! But then again,
yeah, exactly.
So, but that it's almost the Lesnar treatment, to where, you know, he doesn't really do anything to cheat his way out of it. So how am I supposed to boo someone who just wins? I mean, maybe that's a popular thing, especially, you know, with regular sports, people boo winners. I'm tired of them losing. All the people we hear, it's like, I'm so happy that the Patriots lost because I'm tired of them being in the Super Bowl.
Okay. I just hate the Patriots, so.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But no, that's what you hear mostly, though. It's like, it just, you know, over the last 10 years, the quarterback for the AFC has been named, the last name has been Manning, Roethlisberger, or Brady.
Yep.
I mean, so, but no one ever says, well, I hate Pittsburgh because they're always in the Super Bowl. Or I hate Peyton. It's like, just.
People just generally hate Pittsburgh sometimes.
Yeah. Guys do take over a sports bar. I don't know how that happens all over the place. But anyways, it's like, it's just, you would think people would hate winners, but I guess in the fantasy world of WWE, that's the only logical thing. Like, yeah, these guys are pretty good. I'm going to back them.
Yeah.
With Roman Reigns, I don't know. What's he missing that to get people to like him, or is it still just the stigma of he was the chosen guy over Daniel Bryan, which is like almost 2 years old by now?
Yeah, I don't know, because, and I even noted it in my almost live, definitely half-assed review of Raw, is his attitude recently has just cracked me up. Like, him just being an ass to Stephanie and to Triple H and walking out on them. And, I mean, I think Shahid and I had a good talk about that, too. He's just kind of being a dick, and it suits his character more. But, I mean, they're also trying to screw him. So, I mean, he should be acting that way towards them. Like, when someone's actively dislikes you, you shouldn't go, oh, you're my best buddy. Like, you should be a pain in their ass. And, yeah, even this past Monday, like, him and Ambrose just kind of blowing off Stephanie was cracking me up. I mean, that's exactly what their attitude should be. Like, they're like, whatever, we know we're getting screwed, so just get this over with. Like, you know, yeah. You're trying to play this cat and mouse game, but we know what's coming, so just get on with it, man.
See, I'm guessing, I think with the way Roman Reigns looks, especially, he can't afford to do that. I don't know. I just Lesnar barely says anything and it works, so maybe they don't want a copycat. And I know they want Lesnar to be like the face of the company, and you know he's the dad of the year. Or the, no, that was Titus.
Yeah, Titus is dad of the year.
He does his daddy stuff, and he goes out with, no, that's Titus too. I don't know what Reigns does to be the face of the company.
Well, and I guess I don't know what he does really to get all the. Like you said, it's been 2 years. I think, and I thought that he was really starting to turn the corner a little bit more when he did get his ass kicked, honestly, by Lesnar last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I felt like everyone kind of started to respect him because he withstood the punishment and kind of kept on coming, and it was a good match. And, I mean, he's had more good matches in the meantime. His mic work isn't fantastic, but it's above what it had been when they first started to push him.
Yeah, I mean, I just, I don't know. It's still, I think, with Roman,
so
the
yeah.
silent big guy kind of fits better. And I know that's not going to happen, but right now at least, but that's Lesnar, you know? You can't have the two.
Oh. Yeah, but even with Lesnar, like, that was one that, at least this week, that was weird to me. It was like, Heyman didn't think that Lesnar could talk for himself against Triple H?
That didn't make any sense Monday night. Why all of a sudden, like, why would he be scared of Triple H? But he's got the guy that broke his arm twice, right?
At least once, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was twice.
Yeah, you know. So yeah, so I was confused by that.
Yeah, it's just like, huh? Like, this doesn't make any goddamn sense whatsoever. And I mean, and he can talk when called upon.
Yeah, you keep it short or you do them in those sit-down controlled environments. Which actually, that was leading up to WrestleMania last year. But we keep bringing up last year, which is, I guess it's kind of derivative of the problem. We don't have anything new to go off of, to where we're like, what's he done on the mic, vignette-wise, lately? Like, what have they done to create momentum for Roman, outside of, like, some of the, you know, fighting Vince McMahon stuff? I mean, he started getting over last time, starting in some respect with his talking, with the sit-down, but I don't know, I all this leads up to the main event, if it is just Triple H and Roman, that's going to be a spectacle because they don't have the trick of a Money in the Bank. I was trying to think of like what else they could use, but no, there's nothing else they could have. I mean, there's nobody with some sort of stipulation to go, well, no, I get to be in this match too.
Well,
I mean, you can have that happen at Fastlane if they really want to change plans up, but
yeah, and there is.
You have to keep Brock Lesnar out of the main event if you want Roman Reigns to get cheered, right?
Well, and I guess that was one of the points that I started with. A lot of people think that Reigns is being booed over Triple H. So it's just like, it would really help not to have Brock Lesnar in there because, yeah, I agree. He's definitely going to get the cheers over Triple H. but and I don't know why, and I mean, they could change their mind, but it was just weird to have that Bray Wyatt interference, and even really, Paul Heyman talked about him at the top of Raw, which makes me think, like, if they were blown off that storyline, I wouldn't think that it would be a Paul Heyman talking point.
Hey, what made that whole thing weird, you got Heyman talking about him, it seemed logical from the Rumble, and then all of a sudden, the Wyatts attack Big Show, who is suddenly a face again, and Bray's not out there, they don't even acknowledge Bray's not out there. I mean, obviously behind the scenes, he was not there, he couldn't have been there.
Right.
So the feud now seems like the Wyatt family and Big Show. But Big Show and Brock Lesnar don't have anything together. In fact, the two guys Big Show helped out just Thursday didn't even bother to run down to help him out for the 15-minute beatdown he took.
Yeah, that was not very nice of Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns.
No.
And they were not out at the bar yet. They cannot use that excuse this time around.
Well, Shahid said that they had a match to get ready for. That's why they couldn't be bothered. And I'm like, oh, brother.
Yeah, I mean, if beatings meant anything in the WWE, I would buy that logic, but beatings mean very little, if anything.
Honestly, half the time selling a match doesn't even matter anymore. I mean, Kevin Owens, he limped down to the Royal Rumble match. The next night on Raw, he wasn't showing any effects of it.
He was still limping a little bit, but at least down to the ring. But what are you going to do when you're in ring? It's just like, are you going to limp when someone throws you against the ropes? Like, yeah. It's kind of a stupid thing to start with, quite frankly.
Yeah. Well, that's why you don't have a guy that just was wrestling in a last man standing match wrestle the next day.
Well, and lose, you know? And on top of that, go through two tables off the top ropes.
Yeah, oh. What a bump, man. That was... But, that's just a greater problem. And, like, last night's show, I don't understand why Dolph Ziggler beat Kevin Owens. If you're going to put Kevin Owens... Oh, no, that's Bray Wyatt. But I don't know what they're going to hope to accomplish by having Dolph Ziggler, who the crowd clearly sees as just a jobber now. Maybe that's why they were so excited, because he finally won a match. But that didn't make any sense to me. You want to have some of the heels at least be hot while they're going into Fastlane or WrestleMania, whatever. And nothing. It didn't make any sense. There was some follow-up on WWE's Instagram account. Of him celebrating with somebody backstage. Like, okay.
I guess that's why I did joke in the column that he's benefiting from everyone being injured. Like, he's your only guy that has at least some level of credibility, I guess, that could be rebuilt. But even then, I mean, Kevin Owens has not exactly been on a winning streak.
They built him up for a little bit, just, and then that was it.
Yeah, I mean, he bounced back a little bit from that first Cena loss. But then they had him, was he part of the hot potato of the, and I can't even remember which one Kalisto has now. Oh, the U.S. title.
No, he was the Intercontinental one. He beat Ryback for it, and then Dean Ambrose beat Kevin Owens for it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That stuff is your typical WWE, we don't know what to do stuff. And at least that's what it seems like. All right, this guy won the title. Cool. We're going to make sure it gets over by having him lose it 2 months later. Wait, what? Unless you're John Cena and you defend the U.S. belt every week and everything's, you know,
yeah,
that title got built up pretty big. Well, at least Kalisto's doing the same thing. But they're not calling it an open challenge. I think that would actually help get Kalisto over. Or they're just hoping that by match every week, that's what's going to do it for him.
Yeah, and I mean, I definitely think it can. I mean, I think that that's one of those things that, and to me, at least a little bit goes back to the injuries, is that people always are saying, like, and I even think John Cena said it, like, oh, you can still have some good earning years, like, into your late 30s and early 40s as a wrestler. And you can, but I think that's part of the reason why there's been a rash of injuries. Too. Like, they just are depending upon a lot of old guys. Who have taken a beating for a long time.
Well, all right, let's see. Who's on the injured list right now?
Rio is not exactly... Well, hold on,
he's cleared again.
Yeah, he's
cleared
again.
So he'll be wrestling at Fastlane.
Yeah.
But even then, he was still got held out of events. Rusev has an apparent knee injury, but is able to wrestle on it. So you got two that are back. Sheamus has bicep tendonitis, but yet they keep showing him work out. I don't know how that bicep tendonitis works, but you'd think he wouldn't work out anymore. Or give it a rest. So we got Seth Rollins is out, Cena's out, Cesaro's out, Tyson Kidd is still out.
Nikki Bella.
Naomi supposedly is hurt, but she showed up and did very little bit. Wade Barrett.
I think we've gotten most of them. Because, Rusev was another one that everyone thought that there might have been an injury, but there isn't an injury now, because, I mean, he at least had something of a match on Raw there, even if it did have an atrocious finish.
What was the atrocious finish, though?
He took the Hurricanrana off the announcer's table into the barricade, and he got counted out.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, they were kind of selling the peril of a count out, but when you're trying to make your champ look tough, like I understand the connection between Del Rio and Rusev with the League of Nations, but I think they'd be better off doing what they did, because I'm trying to think of who Kalisto wrestled on SmackDown, but just have him wrestle some people that you know he's going to get wins, and just let him get wins.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure. I was going to say the Social Outcast, but you can't really use them. I was trying to be serious and think of somebody else. But they've done such a horrible job of differentiating. Like, you've got your lowest rung. That's a Social Outcast, Zack Ryder, R-Truth for the most part right now. I put Stardust in there too. When's the last time he did anything non Titus O'Neil related, let alone win? And then you've got, like, your middle rung guys. But even the middle rung is such a weird, like, up and down. And that includes, like, Kevin Owens. Like, there's right now, you got to figure what Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, The Undertaker, if he ever comes back, Brock Lesnar, and Triple H. That's your top four or five. I don't know how many I just mentioned. And everybody else is in the middle. But I mean, even the middle's got like some rungs, so you don't want to like hurt the guys on the rungs too. If they just establish a pecking order, have him beat some people that he should, and then have him come out and beat somebody good finally. But maybe we're putting way too much thought into Kalisto.
No. Well, I guess that could count as another injury, Sin Cara. You know,
oh, yeah, I forgot about him. Yes.
Kalisto's getting, like, just kind of got this push out of the blue, really. Because he was in a tag team who got two aborted pushes. And then it looked like they might finally be getting a shot at New Day one-on-one. And then Sin Cara gets injured.
Yeah. It doesn't matter who's in the Sin Cara outfit. It's just not going to work out for him. I'm hoping they used to have long-term plans, and I know the injuries didn't help, but just trying to figure out where WrestleMania is going, and I guess we can just, you know, like Shahid always likes to say, just sit back and watch the show, but it's always kind of, it's fun speculating though, like, and this is one of those years that I don't know if it's a creative process or creative problem, or if it's just they're doing a good job of hiding it. What WrestleMania is going to shape up to look like outside of those three matches?
It's wide open. Well, because I don't know, and dear Lord, I hope it doesn't happen. I hope it's only a fast lane match. Chris Jericho and AJ Styles round two.
I don't know what they're doing with Chris Jericho. He seems like he's becoming a heel, which is okay. I got no problem with that. But because he came out like such a nerd, not wearing his shirt under his clothes and doing his, like his, I think Jason Powell called it his greatest hits tour.
Yeah, Chris said that his act is more dated than Ric Flair's, which I thought was outstandingly insulting.
Yeah, oh, there's a four. Since you mentioned Ric Flair, the fourth probable match for WrestleMania is Charlotte and Sasha Banks.
Well, and I don't even think it's that two. I think it's at least the three, and it kind of seemed like this week that they put Brie into that mix. Just because her sister's injured.
Yeah.
And she has no storyline reason to be in there whatsoever.
Yeah. It's like they have to keep them on TV. And to be honest, as much as I like Naomi, her and Tamina, they weren't necessary. If she would have just said, no, you know, I'd politely go my separate ways from them, or I'm the boss, I don't need them. That would have been fine, too.
Well, to say I don't need them at the beginning of your promo, and yeah, then 3 minutes later go, oh, yeah, sure, stick around for this match. I mean, that's like Sting-level dumb babyface.
Well, okay, but then at the end of that match, Becky Lynch helps out Sasha, who just punked out Becky Lynch a week ago. So, and then you was, I was just saying, then you watch NXT, and the way the women are treated, and the way they wrestle on there, it just, it's night and day, and I know it's two different platforms, but, boy oh boy.
Well, yeah, it's two different platforms, but the logic shouldn't be that much different.
WWE logic is way different than NXT logic, though.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, there shouldn't be a difference. Like, you know, writing good TV shouldn't be, like, this much different. Like, I know that you don't have as many frills on NXT, but the logic behind it isn't really changing from what you're trying to accomplish on the main roster. Like, you're trying to make stars. And, I mean, in the NXT's case, you're just trying to get them familiar with everything and your type of wrestling style and, you know, the camera work and all that other good stuff. And then, you know, when they're good enough, bump them up to the main roster where they continue to evolve.
Yeah. We've clearly seen how that's worked out for people.
But, I mean, it just becomes a screeching halt, like, because, well, and you think that, well, the Slammies is one of those launching off points, usually, but all of a sudden, Neville wins a Slammy, and then, was he even on Raw this week?
No. No, I don't believe so.
Like, what's the use of doing something if, like, 3 weeks later he's not even going to be on TV? Oh, and I forgot, he lost to Kalisto in one of the matches.
Okay, that actually, to me, isn't a bad one. Because Neville's got just that amount of bounce back and forth on those rungs in the middle part to where it's like, you know, Kalisto beating him actually would matter.
You know, well, yeah, but I don't know why. I guess I just think that would be a more attractive, at least short feud. And or just like at least a slightly more important match, whether it's at least at a pay-per-view where they can give them a couple extra minutes. Something, anything. Like, I don't understand, like, an unannounced match on SmackDown.
Unannounced title matches are always kind of silly anyways. so it doesn't really matter. I don't know what I don't. I was watching like the Breaking Ground, and they made a point. There was always promo class. All right, you got to get your character over. So you got to work on your promo. Got to do this. They were doing like collar and elbow tie-ups. They were doing like, here's your music. Does your music fit your character? This and this. Practice what you're gonna say. That, and I'm like, why are they doing any of this? Because the second they get up to the main roster, all of that goes away. They're given a script. They're given, here, this is what you're supposed to say. Do what we tell you to say, or say what we write for you. There's movesets. You're not allowed to do this. So I understand there's always like, well, you have to have a foundation to come from. Okay, I understand. But it changes so quickly. And I don't know how many episodes you made it through Breaking Ground.
Zero.
No, it's not a bad show. I mean, you can just listen to it while you're at work. And one of the arcs was about how long Baron Corbin and Prince Pretty,
Tyler Breeze,
have been at NXT. And they're like, yeah, you know, I've been here 3 years. I'm getting antsy to move up. And, you know, I don't know when it's going to happen, this and this. And I'm like, well, he obviously is called up. So he's like, yeah, I just want to take it to that next level. I want to see, you know, apply myself up there, see how big of a star I can get up there. I'm like, no, you don't. You just want to stay in NXT, dude. Just ride the wave, because you haven't been treated for really much of anything since you've been there. Which I think is a huge, huge blunder, but...
I guess I wouldn't go with huge blunder, but, you know, it's another one where I just think that they could have gotten more mileage out of him, but now he's just a joke.
He's just a guy. Well, look, yeah. Look at everyone they pulled up on the long-term guys. Bo Dallas.
Nothing.
Yeah, Adam Rose. They scrapped his gimmick. Totally.
And then he started the Rose Bush, and then 3 weeks later is in the Social Outcast.
Yeah. Neville's not quite there, but it's the man that gravity forgot. Oh, hey, do you remember the Ascension?
Who?
Yeah, remember, they're actually around still.
Oh. Yeah, I've seen them job on NXT more than I've seen them job on Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah. So you know, for Kevin Owens, who was there for a little bit, okay. You know, you got Kalisto, who's... The Lucha Dragons weren't exactly tearing it up until the last couple months, and then Sin Cara gets hurt. They got called up, was it after WrestleMania?
Well, yeah, I mean, I mentioned it earlier, they had two aborted runs. For whatever reason, they were getting a chance, and then... The Dudleys came back, and instead of, you know, giving the Dudleys at least just a chump match to kind of get their feet wet again, they throw them right in the title mix. And then it looks like, Lucha Dragons are going to get a chance. Oh, look, Jimmy recovered from his shoulder surgery, so the Usos are back in the mix. So yeah, I mean they were start and stop. I mean, yeah, they had no real momentum. I mean, this is Kalisto's real first test.
Yeah, but it goes back to the guys they brought out from NXT. You got Kevin Owens and you got the Wyatt family. As long as your name's Bray, Rom, or Luke Harper, because well, boy, Eric Harper. Or, sorry, Eric Rowan. He's better. He's not great, but he's better. So I don't understand. He's just the job guy of the group, I suppose. Is that it for NXT call-ups?
I think so.
Oh, besides the women, but you know, but look at Emma. She got called up, and I understand there were some legal wranglings there. Oh, and the Shield. So have to throw them in.
Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, they're the only ones to do a lot. Because even the... I mean, the Charlotte thing, I guess, and we did start talking about that. They are at least moving in the right direction. Like, I like her a lot better as a heel. They've let Ric Flair take a bit more of a back seat here the last few weeks. So it kind of works out. Becky Lynch is the lone baby face of the group, or at least true baby face of the group. Even though Sasha's over, she still kind of has that bitchy attitude that Lynch doesn't have. So she's a little bit more kind of in between. But they've, and I mean, how many months did we go through the Divas Revolution, though, where they were just kind of these character, like, oh, we're a team, we're team bad, we're team, like,
PCB.
Yeah, PCB. Like, it was 3 or 4 months that it was just this weird thing where you didn't really know that much about them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's been, what, maybe 3 months now that they've really done a whole lot with, or no, Charlotte won in November at Survivor Series, I think she said. Yeah. So, yeah, well, yeah, I guess 3 months works.
Well, all right. Do you think, and I guess this, maybe this will contradict what I was getting at, but do you think they underestimate, or no, I'm sorry, do you think they overestimate the amount of people who actually watch NXT? Because when they introduce somebody from NXT, it's, hey, here you go, just throw them out there. Michael Cole on TV goes, oh, it's blah, blah, blah from NXT. But, and like, they're just hoping the crowd knows who they are. Like, the Lucha Dragons, they, I mean, introduce them after WrestleMania was a decent idea.
Right.
Like, Neville, sure. But I remember we were at 30, the day after, they had promos for Adam Rose and Bo Dallas, and that crowd went crazy, you know, cheering all the time. But when they actually debuted, they, it was both kind of like, eh. So I just wonder if they actually overestimate WWE crowds watching the product. And really, if you think about it, I don't think that many people probably do. If they only have 1 million subscribers to the network, well, I mean, the ratings are down.
Well, and then that's kind of the other funny thing. I mean, they shouldn't overestimate the numbers considering that they have the numbers.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those things just like, okay, we get, you know, X number of fans. We know that we have this many people. And, I mean, they keep track of all that stuff. I mean, they love, oh, we have more unique visitors to our site than the NFL, MLB, and, you know, NBA. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, because no one wants to go to those sites at all. Like, they go to their team's site. Like, you know, they don't go to the main one. Like, I don't, hell if I mean, as much as I love all the Pittsburgh teams, I don't go to their damn sites at all. Like, I watch more of their content on Twitter than I do anywhere else.
Yep. Yeah.
And even then, it's just like, oh, okay, they're just doing this little clip or a little interview or something. And it's just like, okay, good. That's all I needed. Thanks.
Yeah, I was trying to think, like, with sports I follow, they'll send me a link. Like, you don't have to go to your team site all the time. I mean, how many sports websites are there? Not including, like, the big guys. Like, Yahoo, ESPN, Fox, all that stuff. So, yeah, they have the numbers, but I just wonder if they think, well, it's on our network. NXT's the cool hip thing, so everyone must be talking about it. So, we don't need to put in the legwork to actually introduce these guys. And coming up, I mean, we were talking about it. I think I talked about it with Shahid. Yeah. After WrestleMania, NXT should look pretty different. And a lot of those guys, not a lot, but I think it's going to be because they're calling up a lot of them. Or at least some of them. You know?
Right. Well, I was going to say, like, even with the diminished ratings on Raw, isn't it roughly around 3 million?
Yeah, Yeah, I'd say so. I think a 269 is literally 3.
Okay. Well, then, at best, if everyone watches NXT that's on the network, you have a third of your audience.
Yeah.
Watching it. I mean, that isn't enough to justify, oh, yeah, they know him.
Oh, yeah. Well, the way some have been treated lately, although the Ascension, you know, whatever.
Well, yeah, I don't feel bad for them, just because, well, they haven't been given a chance, but they don't have...
Gimmick.
Yeah, it's just it's a bad dated gimmick. So I guess I just didn't think that was gonna go anywhere, and I don't think they're not terrible wrestlers, but they're not particularly good either.
Not particularly interesting either. That's why I like teaming them up with Stardust, but they didn't do anything with it. It was literally, all right, all three of us are together. There wasn't like, I'm Stardust, your cosmic leader. Unless I missed something.
You know, they kind of said that, but not really.
Yeah. And you have to plain state something sometimes. So I'm looking at WrestleMania, looking at NXT. That NXT show, I can't wait to talk about that closer to WrestleMania. It's like, just can you bubble wrap everybody? Until then, just no one's allowed to wrestle until then. I know that's not feasible.
Well,
not practical, but I don't care.
But they've basically taped everything up until WrestleMania, though, haven't they? Or did they?
But they still do live events, though.
Well,
and they train too. So.
Right. But the chances are diminished, I guess, is what I was getting towards. You know, at least the. But, I mean, they have had people injure themselves, and it's just like, this is kind of awkward. Didn't a Tommy get hurt at a live event? And they had to write in his shoulder injury with a parking lot beatdown.
See, I thought it was training, but either way. They almost lost Ty Dillinger. He's not a huge name, but I guess it just turns out that, yeah. It just turns out that's a what no one can see is Kevin was giving me the tens on the camera, which I can talk about that in a second, but you know, he's not hey, but still, it's like that's what you gotta watch out for. But that 10 gimmick cracks me up. I mean, especially if you watch the Breaking Ground, he's talking to another guy, and remember Ty Dillinger is supposed to be the perfect 10. Well, he's talking to this other guy about why people are going to hate this other guy. His name escapes me.
Right.
He's like, look at you. He's like, there's not an ounce of fat on your body. He's like, no wonder everyone hates you. He's like, I hate you just looking at you. And I was like, that's funny, coming from that who's always the perfect 10. But
right.
Looking at NXT, they've got a bunch of tag teams that are kind of just milling about now. The Vaudevillains. I think isn't Aiden English hurt?
I don't know why they're out at the current moment.
Yeah.
Because I did, like, I had watched a bunch of shows, and then I skipped out because I didn't watch much up until the last TakeOver, and then watched TakeOver. And really, up until I started doing the columns, I really hadn't watched a whole lot.
Well, the big tag team there was Big Cass and Enzo.
Right.
They haven't been on.
They've been doing promo. They've been the last couple of weeks. They've cut promos against Dash and Dawson.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they're the tag champs.
Correct.
Okay. Have you read the NXT spoilers?
No. I don't read any spoilers for the most part. I don't have time for those shenanigans.
Well, this is gonna. Never mind. That just aborts my topic I was gonna bring up, but basically, New Day needs a tag team opponent for WrestleMania, and I hope to God it's not gonna be one of these 8-person tag matches or just one of these things thrown out there at the last second. And I was thinking, since certain teams at NXT aren't doing anything for the foreseeable future, they're not showing up on TakeOver, then why not call them up early?
Oh.
You know, add some intrigue. And especially if you're not doing anything with them. If I don't think the Vaudevillains Act will work in WWE anyways, but I think Big Cass and Enzo can. Jordan and Gable obviously can.
Yeah, I thought, I hadn't thought about it, but I thought Shahid's description of Enzo and Cass was perfect. They're the new age outlaws.
They could be, I guess, but it's...
I can at least see, I can see where he gets the comparison. If nothing else, I can see where the idea comes from.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of them, but they've been in NXT so long, and they're way over with that crowd. I've always wondered if the walking down the aisle thing was going to work on a bigger audience. Maybe.
Walking down the aisle?
Yeah, when he's like, my name's Enzo Amore.
I mean, it did work for Road Dogg, so...
Yeah, but that was one of a kind, man.
I do enjoy his talk. I enjoy Enzo's talking, but I'm not sure. You know, I mean, I guess the Jersey thing's a little, you know, it's not as hot as it was, and you know, I don't know if it'd work out that well.
I think they look different enough. Enzo especially just looks different enough. He can get away with it. I don't know. They seem to have a pretty good gimmick built in. I think they'll be okay up there, but like Dash and Dawson? What? No, not Chance.
Yeah, they're two guys. What's your gimmick? We're two guys.
Yeah, who was the other tag team that was just two guys? They have Alexa Bliss with them.
Oh, Blake and Murphy?
That's it, thank you. My God, I knew it was Murphy, but I couldn't think of the other guy's name. Like, I don't see them working out on the main roster either.
No, I mean, they're at least size-wise, I could see them working out a little bit better than Dash and Dawson, but I might be overestimating them and underestimating Dash and Dawson.
That's possible.
At least, you know, physically size-wise.
Yeah. It's gonna be an interesting run up until even going to Fastlane, and especially the second Fastlane's over. Those few weeks in between Fastlane and WrestleMania, they're gonna have a lot of work to do. And I don't know if we got the faith, if I got the faith in them to get it correct or not, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Just don't put any more bad no more bad Raws. If they can avoid that, they can build momentum up. I'm pretty sure they can build solid momentum.
I mean, even with you saying that it was just an okay show this past week, that's better than I felt like we were seeing it this time last year. Like, yeah. I still go back to that. As much as both Shahid and Chris loved it live last year, and really I enjoyed it watching on my computer screen, WrestleMania was an anomaly to a terrible build and really terrible work afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, at least if they can not be terrible, I'll feel a little bit better about things.
I think that's fair. I think that's kind of a low standard, but yeah. I mean, as I told Shahid on, watch stuff, I think it was 3 episodes ago with the Royal Rumble review. I felt way better about WWE's product after watching the Royal Rumble than I did before. because they planted enough seeds. We haven't even talked about, we mentioned him, but we didn't talk about AJ Styles at all. Oh, Daniel Bryan is another guy that's hurt, by the way. How the hell we forgot that one?
Well, I guess we did bring up that he pretty much hasn't been around for 2 years since he won the title.
True. Yeah, good call. it's like I'm not down on the product. Yeah, but I know it's low, you know, low expectations.
A low hurdle to cross.
Yeah. But you know what? Just 1 foot at a time, and hopefully everything turns out okay. And who knows what they're gonna have coming up, but they don't have that rabbit coming out of the hat like Seth Rollins did last year.
Oh, so, nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do not think that we have time for my dumb story, unless you want to hear the dumb story that I was going to save since we're well over the hour mark at this juncture.
Oh, might as well hear it. Who cares?
So, over the weekend, I worked on the Irish Red Ale version 2.0. And I had actually gone to the gym first thing in the morning, but because of all the running around and setup for brewing, I did not get around to showering until, well, 10 p.m. And I had cracked open...
When did you take a shower on Friday?
7 a.m.
So from 7 a.m. Friday all the way till 10 p.m. with a run to the gym?
Yeah, like a full workout there Saturday morning.
God damn, you've given up, man. You've only been married since October. You can't do that stuff. That is not fair. Anyways, go ahead, Marius. I'm sorry.
Cayenne loves to, my boxer loves to come up and, visit, me in the shower. And before this, as I was watching the UFC fights, I had cracked open a beer and I left it on the floor, which is the key component to this. He comes upstairs with me and then he, you know, does the usual barge in while I'm showering. And then he goes back downstairs and he ends up drinking the half a beer that I had left in the glass. He ends up chucking all of dinner all over the living room. And then he passes out on the stoop, or the landing there at the stairs. And he was just completely he had had beer before, but this is the first time I saw him hammered. I did call my my in-laws who are vets. Just I'm like, he's just drunk, right? I don't need to worry about this, because he started breathing heavy, he was kind of wobbly and didn't want to stand up.
Oh my god, what was he drinking?
Well, the same fine beer that I'm consuming right now, it was the Stunt Granny Brewing Snowfort, which is the Belgian wit beer with cinnamon, cranberry, and plum. And it's only 5.8%, so, I mean, it was not exactly the IPA, which was checking in at 8%, or the other one that checked in at 8%. So, I mean, he didn't go for a completely high-gravity one. But, yeah, evidently he liked the taste of the old Snowfort. So, note to Kevin, do not leave your beer on the ground anymore.
No, I... Yeah, dude, your dog's hammered. Just, I just like the dog went through all the stages, though. Drinks all the beer, throws up, then just passes out wherever. Like, that's a very human thing to do.
Yeah, I think that's what I found so funny about the situation. Jesus.
Ours have gotten emboldened as they've gotten older. especially the black one, Mariah, just she'll actually go up to you now and just take food out of your hand.
Oh man.
Yeah. So yeah, him drinking a beer is not a surprise. But yeah, getting drunk, yeah, that's pretty good. I don't think I've ever seen an animal drunk before.
Yeah, I mean, he worked it off in about probably an hour or so, just because it really was only about half a beer. It was like 30 minutes to an hour, he seemed like he was okay again. But it was still pretty funny to see him hammered for that amount of time.
Yeah, alright, we gotta go, because I was about to start telling stories from college, and it's like, no, you know what?
Yeah.
It's not a smart idea, so... Animals can get high, though, so that's definitely something they can do.
I'll just leave it at that.
Yes. It was not me. It was another roommate. That was not you.
Yeah, I do believe, I think, I know the story you're talking of.
All right. So, yeah, so thanks for listening, guys. We will, some version of the show will be back at you next week. In the meantime, you can follow us on social media, Stunt Granny, on Twitter and on Facebook. There's no Instagram account. Why would there be? I don't know. I guess we use it to promote the show, but that doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, I don't know. Can you do two accounts like you can with Twitter?
I don't know. You just kind of flip between them? Again, probably.
Ooh, it's just a pain in the dick.
But, so check us out there. Got anything you want to contact us, stuntgranny@gmail.com, or just tweet us. Doesn't matter. I'm Granny Maze. He is DeFrango11, which is much easier than Shahid.
Yes, it is.
So that's it for this show. I'm going to get out of here. I might be on next week. I might not. Shahid may, or he may not. Or Chris could be here again. You never know. But the one constant is the man taking us out.
And, for Stunt Granny Brewing and for Drunk Dogs Everywhere, have a good night, grandkids.